Chapter 9 and reading from verse 1. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall upon all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air, upon every creature that moves along the ground, and upon all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. But you must not eat meat that has its lifeblood still in it. And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal and from each man too. I will demand an accounting for the life of his fellow man. Whoever sheds the blood of man by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made man. As for you, be fruitful and increase in number, multiply on the earth and increase upon it." Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth." So God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth." One day God speaks to Noah. "Noah," he says, "I want you to build another ark." "What, like the last one?" asks Noah. "Yes," replies God, "except this time I want it to have 14 decks. And shall I lead all the animals into it two by two, like the last time?" said Noah. "No, this time I only want you to lead fish into the ark." Noah, a little puzzled, said, "Just fish?" "Yes," says God, "in fact, just carp." "Just carp? Why just carp?" Noah asks. "Well," said God, "I've always wanted a multi-story carp ark." Oh, these Noah jokes, they just keep coming. I came across this list of lessons from the life of Noah. Don't miss the boat. Remember that we're all in the same boat. Plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. Stay fit. When you're 600 years old, someone may ask you to do something really big. Build your future on high ground. For safety's sake, travel in pairs. When you're stressed, float a while. No matter the storm, when you are with God, there's always a rainbow waiting. Well, we've been looking at this story of Noah and the ark. We began a couple of weeks ago and we were asking the question, you know, and we were saying it's not just a children's story. In fact, it doesn't make great reading for bedtime stories. A story of God going to destroy the whole of the earth is perhaps not what you want your children to be, minds to be filled of just before they go to sleep. We also asked the question, you know, is it a true story? And we talked about how different people look at the story of Noah and Ark. And we said, as with all scripture, one of the important things is how we interpret scripture. And we interpret all Scripture when we come to it. Sometimes we do it without thinking about it, but we always are interpreting Scripture. And that's what we are called to do. That's what we're doing this morning, trying to put some interpretation on Scripture. And so we looked at Noah and the ark, and we talked about mankind's failure and God's favour to Noah and his family. And we looked at Noah's faith, that Noah was a righteous man, a good man. And then last week we were looking at Noah on the ark, and we saw that the ark was God's provision. We saw that the ark was God's protection, and we saw that the ark is God's promise. And this week, and we also looked at a little video clip, didn't we, from Joanna Lumley, and the search for Noah, and we talked about how people are still searching for Noah's ark. Although we did say that some people might be searching in vain for that ark. And so this morning we continue the story, or conclude the story, and we're thinking about Noah and the rainbow. And we remember that God said, "I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth." A sign we talked about with the young people, didn't we? We talked about signs that are instantly recognisable. And the rainbow is God's sign to us. And this morning I want to just explore for a few moments about what that sign means. First of all, it's a sign of a new beginning. The rainbow was a sign that God was beginning again. He says to Noah, "Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth.'" Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. Now, if this sounds a little bit familiar to you, it should do, because back in Genesis chapter 1, Noah said to his first family, Adam and Eve, "Then God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it.'" So this is a new beginning. This is a starting over, that God is giving humankind another go. There's a vital truth underlying these verses, that God will not be defeated, that God will not give up on humankind, however bad it gets. You see, when we do things wrong, when we are disobedient to God, from a human point of view, it may seem to hinder God's plans. It may delay God's plans for weeks or months or years or for even generations. But in the end, God's will be done. What God has spoken will come to pass. This truth is hugely encouraging to us. This idea of a new beginning gives us hope when we've made a mess of things, when we mess up. We may think that that God is going to give up on us, that we've done things wrong, that we've not been obedient, that God perhaps won't give us another chance, another fresh start. But God offers Noah and his family a new beginning. Ours is the God of the second chance. God gives humanity a second chance. And of course, this is the story that is repeated again and again in the Bible. When Moses led the people of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years, time and time again they got it wrong, and time again God gives them a second chance. When God spoke to Jonah the prophet went off in the opposite direction, and we read in Jonah that the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, giving Jonah a second chance. And of course, when we move into the New Testament, Jesus himself was always giving people a second chance, especially those people that others would write off. When the woman was caught in adultery and the teachers of the law and the Pharisees were ready to stone her, Jesus comes along and gives this woman a second chance. When his own disciples messed up, when Peter rejected him and went away, Jesus appears on that beach by the Sea of Galilee and comes along and gives him a second chance. Ours is the God of the second chance. If you're here this morning and maybe you feel that you've not got it right in life, hear this idea of a new beginning. See in the story of Noah and his family that God comes and blesses Noah and starts again and gives Noah a new beginning. And we too can have a new beginning with God. We too can enter into this new beginning when we choose to follow God. So, the sign of the rainbow, it's a sign of a new beginning. It's also a new commandment. God says to Noah, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God has God made man. He gives Noah instructions and says, this is how it's going to be. And the main message that comes through in these verses is that life is important to God. And that human beings are to respect life. But also in these verses is the recognition that mankind is going to get it wrong. That sadly, life is going to be taken. And God says, I'm going to hold you accountable. And there is an accountability within this new beginning between mankind and God. And we are accountable to God, each and every one of us. And when we come to worship God, we come before God, and in a sense, we come and we give an account. We come and worship, we come and ask God to forgive us. We come and worship our God, and in doing that, we want to recommit ourselves to God and to His ways. Part of being a follower of Jesus is following the commands that God gives us. Jesus has given us an example of how we are to live, of how we are to respond to others. And so in Genesis, the rainbow is a sign of a new commandment. God establishes His covenant and He says, this is how I want you to live. And to remember that every person is made in the image of God. So next time you're walking around and you see somebody, maybe you see somebody on the streets begging, or you see somebody doing something that you don't approve of, before you judge that person, remember that that person was made in the image of God. Try and see the image of God in every single person, because the Bible reminds us that every person is made in the image of God. Some people, that image is more obvious than others. In others, it needs to be drawn out and brought out. And so, the rainbow is a sign of a new command, but it's also a sign of a new promise. I've set my rainbow in the clouds as a sign of my covenant with the earth. This is God's promise to humanity. This is the first covenant in the Bible. If you know anything about the Bible, you will know that there are several covenants in the Bible. And this is the first one. And what's unique about this covenant is there aren't any conditions. This is the covenant of grace. God just says, I will establish my covenant with you. In other covenants, there follows conditions that, you know, if you do this, I will do that, and you're to do this, and I will do that. Here, this is a covenant of grace. God just says, I am establishing my covenant with you and with every creature on the earth. God makes His covenant. I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you. I don't know if you noticed the repetition there. You know, that God seems to kind of repeat Himself several times. I will establish my covenant with you. This is his new promise. And he says it again and again about the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Never again will I flood or destroy life. Whenever the rainbows appear, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and the living creatures. This is a sign of the covenant I've established between me and all the earth. Do you think he thinks that maybe Noah's going to be a bit slow to get what he's doing? That he repeats himself so many times. And this is how God speaks to us. Because very often when God speaks, we don't hear him the first time. And God speaks to us again and again and again. And I don't know about you, but when God has spoken to me half a dozen times, finally I seem to get it. And I think, hang on a sec, God's trying to say something here. God is speaking to us. And this covenant that God makes with mankind, it is unconditional. And it is with the whole earth. And it's interesting that it is with all the creatures that Noah took with him on the ark, but also with the whole earth, that God is establishing his covenant. And he places mankind in a special position as guardians of this earth. It's interesting that the Hebrew word that's used for the rainbow, in other places, it's used for the word of the bow, you know, the bow with the spear and the arrow as a kind of weapon of war. And when it says that God places his bow in the clouds, it's almost as if he's announcing peace between God and mankind, and he's hanging his bow up so that everybody can see that this is a symbol now of peace and this covenant that's been establishing. It's a guarantee that God is for us, that God is with us. And of course, the great thing about a rainbow is whenever you see a rainbow in the sky, what do you do? When you see a rainbow in the sky, what do you tend to do? Jean bursts into song. Whenever she sees a rainbow, she immediately bursts into song. Yeah? Yeah? Reminds you of God. Anybody else, what do you do when you see a rainbow? Ben gets his camera out and tries to capture it. Never quite comes out as you see it, does he? You think there's a great rainbow and you get the picture, and it's always a little bit disappointing, isn't it? But what I think most people do, actually, is they point it out. Look, there's a rainbow. And it's a sign, isn't it, that we point to. And it is that reminder that God established this covenant, which, of course, is his relationship. And it's the promise never to flood the earth again. Now, I dare say some people in Britain this morning might have woke up and they might, if they heard me preaching on this, they might say, well, you want to live where I live? Because I guess, say, some people will be woken up this morning to flooded homes or flooded businesses. And this sign of the covenant, this that God is making, they might come back at us and say, well, it didn't work for me. And of course, the promise isn't that there won't be any localized flooding. It's just the promise that God is not going to destroy the whole of life again. And he sets his rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the whole of the earth. This new promise. And it's interesting to note that the rainbow appears after the storm. The rainbow always appears after the storm. Noah had to go through the storm. He had to experience God's judgment on the ark. He wasn't spared in that sense from the hardships of the storms. And it's important to remember that promise of the rainbow, that very often rainbows do appear, don't they, after the rain or during the rain, but when the sun's breaking through again. And of course, that is the promise we sang in that great song from Matt Redman, you know, no, no, I never let go. And this is God's promise to us. God's promise isn't that we won't have to experience storms in life. God's promise isn't that bad things won't happen to us. And it may be at this moment in time that you're experiencing storms in your life. And the rainbow is God's promise that the storm won't destroy you. That there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God in Jesus Christ. And the rainbow appears after the storm as a new promise. As a new promise. The rainbow proves his promise. There will be many storms along the way. There will be tears. I love the psalmist when he says, weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And this is the promise of God. That although we might experience the weeping of the night, that eventually joy will come. The rainbow will appear. God's rainbow is the sign and the symbol that he gave to the whole of humanity. The rainbow reminds us that despite appearances, God is in control. And that somewhere over that rainbow, there are blue skies that we will see. And so, as we come to the end of the story of Noah and the ark, we've seen that God speaks to Noah. That God has a plan for mankind, and it started again with Noah and his family. A new beginning. And a new beginning can be ours in Jesus Christ. A new commandment to follow. We want to try and follow what God has said and do the things that God wants us to do. And a new promise. That promise that God is with us, that he won't forsake us, and that somewhere over that rainbow there are blue skies. Let's just take